You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, people of Birdland, and welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm a veteran journalist who spent 8 years as a senior editor at Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I have another podcast called Baseball by the Book, and I'm a longtime Orioles fan. Well, you guys know that following the 2018 Orioles hasn't been a lot of fun, so maybe it's time for us to start looking ahead a bit. We've already had several episodes looking at Orioles prospects, but now we're going to look even further ahead. In less than 2 weeks is day one of the 2018 MLB draft. The Orioles have the number 11 selection in the first round. Today, our guest is Nick Phalaris. He's a draft expert for 2080baseball.com, and he's a guy who used to work for Camden Depot. So he knows a lot about the Orioles. He's going to talk to us about some of the players who were on the Orioles' radar for that 11th pick. We'll get to that in just a minute. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And, of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Nick Phalaris. He is a draft analyst for 2080 Baseball, and he's a guy who used to work for Camden Depot, a blog we're all very familiar with, a guy who grew up as an Orioles fan. Welcome to the podcast, Nick.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me.
All right. So the draft is coming up. I think the first day of the draft is June 4th. The Orioles pick 11th this year based on their 2017 record. So what I wanted to talk to you about is you're an expert on the draft. You've done some mock drafts and a lot of analysis of these prospects. I wanted to get your thoughts on who the Orioles might pick. Now, we know, obviously, at the 11th pick, it's hard to predict because you don't know what the first 10 teams are going to do. You don't know who's going to be available. There's a lot of variables. But based on the Orioles draft history and based on the kinds of players they tend to gravitate towards, who do you think might be taken in that spot?
So I think for Baltimore's purposes, the home run here would probably be having an advanced college bat fall to them. There's some bats that we're pretty confident are going to be off the board at that point. And that's mainly Alec Baum, third baseman for Wichita State, Nick Madrigal, second baseman for Oregon State. At this point, it looks like the Georgia Tech catcher Joey Bart's going to be off the board. There's a chance that Jonathan India, who's been one of the better hitters in the country this year, is still around at number 11. He's a third baseman right now at the University of Florida. Probably athletic enough to move around the infield a little bit. There are some evaluators who think he can handle shortstop. Certainly has the lower half quickness to fill in at second base. Hit over 400 for most of the year. He's cooled off a little bit down the stretch. He didn't have a great summer on the Cape last year, but everything we've seen this spring has been really encouraging. It looks like the developmental arc is heading in the right direction. He's getting the ball in the air more often, hitting with a lot more authority, and his defense continues to be, you know, solid. There's no concern about him having to move off of the dirt or move, you know, to a lower profile position. So that's kind of the home run, I would think right now for Baltimore would be an advanced college bat like Jonathan India falling to them. And then there are, you know, some other profiles, some high school power arms, a couple high school position players that could be in play there, but more often than not, those are looking like better fits a little bit further down in the first round. But happy to talk about any of those other profiles if you're interested.
Yeah, now we talked about Jonathan India. He's a third baseman for the University of Florida. Generally speaking, when we look at a guy who's a college player and an advanced hitter, like you said, what kind of time frame are we generally looking at? Obviously, that you would expect somebody like that, if they're going to make the majors, it would be quicker than, you know, an 18-year-old right out of high school. Somebody like Jonathan India, realistically, if he were selected, when might Orioles fans expect to see him in the majors?
Well, I think you're looking at 2020 as sort of the ideal target there. So that's a full season in the minors. Ideally, you know, next year he starts maybe at high A, reaches double A, and then is ready at some point the following year to make the majors. His defense is pretty close to major league ready right now. Again, he's not a flashy defender, but he can make the tough play. He's got decent range, you know, kind of one step range at third base is what you're looking for. Good reads off the bat, and enough arm strength to handle the left side. So it's just going to be a matter of how the bat plays and making adjustments as he's introduced to the pro game. There is a little bit of a red flag there because, as I said, over the summer on the Cape, he didn't really hit for much power. Decent feel for contact, a good approach. I sat on him for a couple games on the Cape, and it all looked fine, but it wasn't really anything that jumped off the paper. He looked really more like a third-round talent. This year, the big spike in production obviously is interesting. There's still sort of a question in the back of my mind, and I think that this question is echoed by some decision-makers who weight summer league performance heavily because it is with wood bats instead of these composite bats that the college teams use, and that's when he switches back to wood, are we going to see a fall-off in some of the power production that we've seen so far this spring? The counter-argument for that is we can note some mechanical changes. He's trying to lift the ball a little more, as I said. A little bit more bat speed, a little bit stronger. So it's possible that that he does kind of make a seamless transition and could be up in very short order. It's also possible that there are some additional adjustments he'll need to make with Wood. In any event, you know, if you're popping a guy this high, you're expecting him to be up within 2 years.
And let me just say parenthetically for a minute for listeners who maybe don't follow this stuff very closely the way that you do or even that I do. When you talk about the Cape, you're talking about the Cape Cod League, which is a summer league for college players. So, you know, just I'm not sure everybody knows that, you know, like people listening to this, if they're casual fans and don't follow this kind of stuff, just want to make sure people are aware of what we're talking about there.
Sure. So I guess to quickly summarize, there are basically two sort of high level or what I would call the top tier of summer leagues for college players. One is going to be selection to USA Baseball's collegiate national team. They usually do a short tour around either North Carolina or New England. They play against some other collegiate summer teams, and then they play in a couple different series with international clubs. So they'll play a series against Chinese Taipei. They'll play Japan. They'll play Cuba. Sometimes they'll play Guatemala. And that usually ends up being about 20 games or so. Selection to there is usually pretty exclusive company. Nick Madrigal played there last year, for example. Travis Swaggerty, who's another big college bat that should go towards the top of the first round here. Performance there is really important. And then the larger league, the Cape Cod League, is 10 teams out, obviously, on Cape Cod. They play a full season June, July, and into August. Lots of games. Best competition in the at the collegiate level over the summer, and they play with wood bats. So that performance is weighted very heavily by every team, and heavily to the exclusion of sometimes spring performance for a couple organizations. So it's a really important metric to look at if you're interested in the draft. That's a fun way to kind of stay involved with amateur baseball over the summer. There are some televised games. The stats are readily available and lots of like internet broadcasts. So definitely recommend anyone interested in the draft that wants to learn more. That's a great kind of way to transition into following this stuff.
Yeah, I was in New England on vacation a couple of years ago, and we took in a couple of games out there, and it's a lot of fun to go watch the games. It's a real kind of a fun atmosphere. And you look at the roster of people who've played in there. It's like a who's who of you know, base of all stars of guys who played college baseball. You know, so many big names have played there over the years. But in any case, when you look at somebody like India, is your thinking that basically he is likely to be the best college bat available at 11, or is there anything beyond that in terms of the Orioles draft philosophy in terms of why you think maybe he's the target?
Well, I think where the Orioles are right now, they're I don't want to say necessarily rebuilding. I don't, you know. They've gotten some better performance out of their minor league system in the last year or two than they have, let's say, 8 years ago. So it's not necessarily a situation where they need to tear everything down. It's not a full rebuild. But it would help them, I think, to reload quickly with some more developed talent. And at the top level of the draft, at this point in the draft, right around 11, it seems like a college bat would be a nice fit here. In particular, if they're going to lose Manny, it seems like this would be a natural – you know, a natural talent to target and slot in here. Adam Jones is kind of getting up there in age. You could look at a center fielder like Travis Swaggerty from South Alabama as well. He had a really good summer with USA Baseball's collegiate national team, which we mentioned earlier. And then this draft is really deep on high school arms. like high-end high school arms, and then I would say sort of like mid-rotation-ish college arms. So there are some options available there for Baltimore. The, Ethan Hankins, a big righty from Forsyth Central in Georgia, he was sort of the number one high school arm coming into the spring. He took a little bit of a step back, had some shoulder issues. So far, the word is that the medicals are all clean with him, and he saw his velocity bounce back. Even that little hiccup could be enough in this draft to drop him where he's available for Baltimore. That's something that they couldn't have envisioned being possible coming into the spring. So being able to jump on someone like that, certainly interesting. And Jared Kelenic, a high school outfielder, he's up here in my neck of the woods in Wisconsin. In my opinion, he's a top five talent on skills alone right now. He performed really well over the summer on the showcase circuit. That's a series of showcases that high schoolers run through the summer before their draft year. It's where all the pro scouts get their kind of first in-depth look at the draft class. And the only reason that he might be available is Wisconsin high school baseball doesn't start until May. Kelenic passed on that altogether, graduated early, and he's been doing basically private baseball workouts for the last 4 months and playing on a couple different travel teams. So he's been a little harder for evaluators to see. Just the nature of the draft means kind of out of sight, out of mind. He may fall a little lower in this top half of the first round than he should. So that's more of a high upside pick. You're looking at him arriving closer to 2021, 2022. But he's a five-tool guy, could end up sticking up the middle in center field and be a sort of a cornerstone for the next competitive Orioles team.
You talked about high school arms, and of course the Orioles have shown a willingness to select high school arms in the draft. We know Hunter Harvey, Dylan Bundy in recent years, so it wouldn't be a surprise if they went that direction.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, and there are some really good ones available for him. I mentioned the fact that Ethan Hankins could fall. There are some other arms sort of in contention to go in the top 10. Kumar Rocker, another Georgia right-handed pitcher. Matthew Liberatore, a lefty out in Arizona. He's got a real advanced breaking ball. He's got a four-pitch mix, good feel for his offerings. Fastball playing closer to maybe like a notch above average, low 90s, touching the mid-90s. And then Carter Stewart, a big righty down in Florida, another prep arm at Ogalle. He's got probably the best curveball in the class, and his fastball jumped from sort of low 90s over the summer and the fall up to the mid 90s and touching 98 this spring. So some of these guys are going to get popped, but there are enough hard throwing high schoolers that someone will slip through. And I guess it's not just here at number 11, but at the Orioles comp pick, they're going to have a chance to maybe go over slot for one of these guys if they drop as well. Then there are guys that fit sort of more traditionally into the middle of the first round here, like Ryan Weathers or a Cole Wynn, two other high school arms that have shown like good feel for pitching, maybe more of a mid-rotation upside than like a number two upside, but interesting arms that could definitely be on the Orioles' radar.
Yeah, like I said, I've been going through some mock drafts and kind of seeing what, you know, names that have been associated with the Orioles, and you've mentioned several of them already that I've seen, but a couple of dark horse things that I saw, I'm not sure what your thoughts are on these guys, but one I saw was a college pitcher, Brady Singer. Is he somebody the Orioles might have some interest in?
Oh, for sure. He's been a three-year weekend starter for the University of Florida. And when we say weekend starter, college teams tend to play their conference games Friday through Sunday or Thursday through Saturday. So your top three arms in your rotation slot into your weekend rotation. And then a couple in-week games get sprinkled on, usually between underclassmen or some of your lesser arms, or maybe you have a bullpen, Johnny bullpen throw a day for your club. So Singer started off as the Sunday starter, and he's transitioned now over the last 3 years. He was on rotations like AJ Puck and Logan Shore, a lot of these first round Florida arms that we've seen come off the board and into the pro games over the last couple years. Big stuff, a little bit erratic from an execution standpoint this spring, but he's had a really strong run here in this last month or so. I think it's likely that he's probably off the board in the first 10 picks. If he's around, he's definitely in the mix for Baltimore. He's a big dude. You're going to be able to hang a lot of innings on him, and would be an excellent fit for Baltimore, who certainly is in need for some fast moving pitching.
Now, obviously, the Orioles pick 11, so they're not gonna have a top 10 pick. But who is like? Is there a candidate to be the number one overall pick? Is there a consensus candidate this year, or are we still debating who might be picked number one overall?
The leading candidate right now is Casey Mize. He's a Friday night starter for Auburn, so he's their ace. Overall, has been the most dominant pitcher in college baseball. He's the last time I checked, he was somewhere around like 115 strikeouts and about 90 innings of work, walking just like 15 to 20 guys in that range. So this is a guy that's got a lot of command. He's got power stuff. He works almost like if you've watched Shohei Ohtani work with the Angels, it's very similar. He works cutter, slider, sort of primarily, and then he has a mid-90s fastball that he works off of that and sort of elevates when he's ahead in the count. So he's a fun arm to watch work. He is probably, on pure stuff, sort of the highest upside college arm. He has a little bit of an injury, a large medical file dating back to his high school days. He's been healthy all spring. There are some rumors that, you know, his MRI isn't necessarily exactly how you would like it to be, but obviously we haven't gotten any specific details there. Teams are playing close to the vest, and it's difficult to tell which teams are sort of using these rumors as leverage, either trying to get the Tigers off of them at 1-1, or the Tigers trying to get across to Mize and his advisor that they could go somewhere else and maybe lower his asking price, that sort of thing. It's tough to sift through these rumors sometimes when they relate to the draft, because folks tend to try and leverage the media to get rumors out. But he's right now, I would say, pretty comfortably kind of the consensus number one overall.
All right. Well, not to put you on the spot too much, but obviously with the way the Orioles are playing this year, there's a chance they could have a number one pick next year, or perhaps, you know, certainly a top five type pick, you know, one of the top picks in the draft if they don't get the ship righted pretty soon. Are there names that we're looking at next year as potential number one overall players that maybe could possibly be somebody the Orioles would be interested in next year?
It's super early to kind of hang an estimated number one overall pick or top five pick to start getting excited about for 2019. There is a high school kid who's been sort of on the radar for, I guess, the last 2 years now, since he was a freshman in high school. He's been included on travel ball teams that have, you know, upper class travel ball teams at various tournaments. He's an Oklahoma commit. His name's Bobby Witt Jr., goes to Colleyville High School in Texas. Really talented shortstop, can really swing it. As you would expect from a high school sophomore and junior, his performances have kind of vacillated between kind of jaw-dropping and ho-hum. That's just kind of the nature of having a high school sophomore competing with high school juniors and seniors on these, you know, travel ball tournaments. But he's an explosive talent, a chance to kind of do a little bit of everything. And again, as a high school shortstop, that looks like he's got a good chance to stick there. He's the kind of guy you build your team around. Not quite as physical as like Manny Machado was when he was in high school. So maybe you don't project, at least right now, the same amount of power that Machado grew into, but the same kind of mentality there, you know, an up the middle defender who can be, you know, have a positive impact on the game, kind of on all facets, on the bases, in the box, in the field. He would probably be on the short list of kind of potential star players that folks have already started to circle as a top five talent, and someone maybe for folks who are interested to start reading up on.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think that's one of the few things that'll be of interest to Orioles fans this year, other than, you know, who they get in these trades that are coming. But just, you know, looking ahead to next year's draft when they'll have their highest pick in a while, that's for sure. All right. Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks a lot. And all the draft stuff's available for folks. We've got, I want to say we're over 500 videos now on draft eligible players, a bunch of write-ups. We're going to have another mock draft coming out and an updated rankings, I think, at the end of next week. It's all at 2080baseball.com. That's 2080baseball.com.
Okay. And if people want to find you on Twitter, what's your address? Well, I'm sorry, what's your username?
It's at Nick J. Falleris. So NickJFalleris.
All right. Well, everybody should check out Nick, and they should check out all the stuff that's at 2080 Baseball. It's a really fun time of the year if you're into this stuff. And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.